بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الشيخ رحمه الله سيد: وإن طبخ في الماء ما ليس بطهور أو خالطه فغلب عليه اسمه أو استعمل في رفع حدث سلب طهوريته. Here he said, if something that is not pure is cooked in the water, or likewise if something mingles with it to the point where it becomes dominant over the water, or if it is used for the purpose of removing spiritual impurities, it is deprived of its ability to purify. So here we're still talking about water, inshallah we'll try to finish the issues of water today. After we spoke about the different types of water, remember we concluded with two types of water, pure and impure. The pure, which is the water that is pure in its essence and it purify others. Rainwater, snow, everything. طيب. Also, under that banner, the water that is mixed with little amount of purities, it did not transgress and it did not dominate and change it to become tea or coffee or cordial or something, isn't it? And then we said there's water that is mixed with najasa, and we said there is two really main opinions. If the water has reached the qullatain and less than qullatain, if najasa comes into it, then the water becomes najas, regardless whether it has changed the taste, the smell or color. And this is a lot of the late Hanabila on that opinion. And we said this is the correct opinion. Why? Because we said, combining all the adillah, which is the hadith of qullatain, where the Prophet ﷺ says, if the water has reached the qullatain, it doesn't become impure. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, nothing makes the water impure. So to combine the adillah and the hadith of bi'r bida'a, the well of bida'a, where they asked the Prophet ﷺ, do we make wudu from bi'r bida'a? Because they used to chuck next to it all the najasa and that, and some of the najasa can fall into it. طيب, because it's a well and there's so much water in it. So combining all this adillah, it gives us that, what? If the water has less than qullatain, 190 liters, if any najasa falls into it, the water is najas. Khalas. And we said this is the correct opinion. The other opinion, which is the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he disregarded qullatain or no qullatain. Even if it's a small amount of water, if najasa comes into it and did not change the taste, the smell or color, then what happens? The water becomes impure. But if it did not change any of the three categories, then the water would remain pure and useful. So we close it at this. Now let's move to what the Sheikh said. If something that is not pure is cooked in the water. طيب. Here, what does he mean if something is not pure? Does he mean to cook with the water najasa? No. He means here something is not pure. For example, you cook meat with it. He doesn't mean وَإِن تُبِخَ فِي الْمَاءِ مَا لَيْسَ بِطَهُورٍ. He means here like you put in it meat, you put in it beans, you put in it coffee. So he's saying you didn't mix it with water. You just water and you cooked with it food. What would happen? Can you use it for wudu? With what? With the consensus of the ummah. But that material, let's say you cooked it with a lot of tea, you put 3 bags of tea and you boiled it until it turns tea. Can you use that tea to remove the najasa? We spoke last time, remember? You can. We spoke about it in details. And we used the adillah, remember? So, can you use it to remove the najasa? The impurity, like if there is some urine on the floor and you put the bucket of tea over it until all the najasa is removed. Cleans it? According to the correct opinion, it cleans it. Tayyib? Tayyib. Why? If you cook something in it, you cannot use it for wudu because it's not called water anymore. Is it water? No, it's not water. We spoke about it. It is not water. Now, another issue comes up here. The issue of al-ma' al-musakhan. Now, we said we're going to study fiqh. I want to implement what happens today. الماء المشمس, the water that has been heated by the sun. يعني the ulama differed in opinion about this, and I will explain to you. The ulama said, let's say you have a big pot of water and you left it out in the sun until the sun heated that water. Can you use that water for wudu or not? Pay attention. Al-Madhab al-Shafi'i says no, you cannot use it. Using a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, when he saw her doing this, he said, لا تفعلي فإنه يورث البرص. Do not do so, because this water causes طيب برص, leprosy. This hadith has six different narrations, all of them are weak. And even Ibn al-Mulaqqin, one of the muhaddith, he said there is nothing. He said, جَمِيعُ طُرُقِهِ بَاطِلَ, all the narrations are false, وَلَا يَصُحْ, and it's not correct, وَلَا يَحِلُّ الْإِسْتِدْلَالُ بِهِ, and it's not allowed to use it as a dalil. That hadith. طيب. Based on this, now, inside the Hanbali madhab, there is two opinions. The majority of the Hanabila, they say, you're allowed to use it. And the minority of the Hanabila, they said that if you put it outside intending to heat it, the minority, you're not allowed to. But all the Hanabila would tell you, if the water, like you have a pond of water outside, and the water became hot because of the sun, and you made the wudu from it, it is allowed. But the correct opinion, according to majority of the Hanabila, what do they say? And which is the correct opinion, inshallah? They say, regardless whether you intended to put it outside or it is in the pond, regardless, because the hadith is da'if. And it's a basic principle, proven the water is pure until it's proven it is impure. You want me to repeat that or you understand it? Tayyib, based on this, we can talk about what, ya shabab? Solar heating. If a person follows that opinion, then you cannot make wudu with water solar heated. You cannot make wudu with the solar heated water if you are on that opinion. But as you said, alhamdulillah, this opinion is a weak opinion and it's unknown يعني, amongst the madhahib, except in the madhab of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. So, what do we understand? We conclude from this that if the water heated by the sun, it is allowed to be used for wudu. And the hadith that is used is a very weak hadith. And ulama of hadith, they said that you're not even allowed to use it as a dalil. And then here he said, أَوْ خَالَطَهُ فَغَلَبَ عَلَى اسْمِهِ, or it is mixed. If it is mixed and then it changed the name, means if the water is mixed with something but not cooked, just put it into it. Like for example, you put in it milk, or you put ink, طيب, or a dye, then you cannot use it for wudu, but you can use it for a purifier, removing najasa. يعني there is no dalil. There is no dalil, strong dalil, that says you cannot use it for wudu. طيب. Now, we move to another point. أَوْ اسْتُعْمِلَ فِي رَفْعِ حَدَثٍ سَلَبَ طَهُورِيَّتَهُ, or if it is used for the purpose of removing the spiritual impurities, it is deprived of its ability to purify. So what does it mean? What is الماء المستعمل? Water that is used for wudu or ghusl, not najis water, the water that al-munfasilu anil jism wal-a'da, you wash your face with water. Now the difference of opinion happened because of two ahadith. One hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is of course the hadith is collected by Imam Muslim, la yaghtasilu ahadukum fil ma'i ad-da'imi wa huwa junub. A person should not have ghusl, wash himself in the stagnant water while he is on the state of janaba. So the ulama, and including the Hanabila, they said, because if you use the water, it becomes impure. It becomes impure. But there is other ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the hadith in Sahih Muslim narrated by Ibn Abbas, أن رسول الله كان يغتسل بفضل ميمونة, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make wudu in the water used by Maymuna radiallahu anha. And other ahadith, I'm just mentioning one hadith because it's not time to expand too much. So the water that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used, which is left over from Maymuna radiallahu anha. So as you see, there is a hadith, it could be a conflict. And when there is always a hadith that could be a conflict, you see the ulama split. Some ulama take this and some ulama take that. And then some ulama try to combine both. And the correct opinion is to combine both. So, al-ma'u musta'mal, according to the correct opinion, of course in the Hanbali madhab, the used water, you're not allowed to use it for wudu. But inside the Hanbali madhab, they will tell you there is no opinion, nothing. Yani sahib al-insaf al-mardawi rahimahullah, he says, I cannot find any quote for Imam Ahmad to state that the used water is impure. He said, I cannot find a quote from Imam Ahmad that the used water is what? Impure. Yani from later students of the madhab. The correct opinion, and Allahu A'lam, is the used water can be used for wudu. طيب, what do we use this hadith? Listen to what the Shawkani said and Imam Nawawi said. As Shawkani said, the reason behind that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, do not, one of you should not do a ghusl from the janaba in the stagnant water, he said the reason behind it because you use it and then it is used again and again and again and then become filthy water. طيب, that's why in another hadith he said, فَلْيَغْتَرِفْ مِنْهُ, let you, you know, scoop from it. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said about the hadith, فِي هَذَا الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ نَظَرِ, to use that hadith that as a proof that you cannot use the used water for wudu, يعني, you need to reflect in that. لِأَنَّ الْمُخْتَارَ وَالصَّوَابِ, because what we choose and the correct opinion بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ النَّهْيُ عَنِ الْإِغْتِسَالِ فِي الدَّائِمِ إِنْ كَانَ كَثِيرًا لِأَلَّا يُقَدِّرَهُ وَقَدْ يُؤَدِّي تِكْرَارُ ذَلِكَ إِلَى تَغْيِيرَهُ. He said, and the correct opinion that what is intended behind the prohibition in this hadith, which is to wash yourself in the stagnant water, he said, here he's talking about when it is a lot of water, that so you do not turn it to filthy water. Because when you wash too much yourself with it, yani you get the water, you wash your face, and somebody else washes his face, and somebody then becomes filthy. The water going to change and become filthy, and you will, the water will change and will not be good to be used. So what is the solution? Is to scoop. And that's why we said, for example, if you're making wudu and you miss the limb, just an example, like you want to wipe on your socks, for example, and there is water still dripping from your bead. Can you put your hands in your bead, which is, let's say you have a thick bead and full of water still. Can you wet your hands and then wipe? If you are on that opinion, then you can. So at this, how many different types of water we have? If we want to divide it, first, pure, nothing mixed with it. Pure water. Second, used water. Third, water mixed with purities. These three types of water you're allowed to use for wudu. Repeat them again. First, pure water that is not mixed with anything on its original state. Second, water that is used. Third, water that is mixed with a little bit of impurity which is, did not change the name. Three of those, can you use them for wudu or not? Yes. Fourth, water mixed with najasa. Can you use that for wudu? No. طيب, the water that is less than qullatayn now, just a revision, less than a qullatayn, and there is some drops of najasa in it. Can you use it for wudu? No. طيب, the water that is over and above qullatayn, طيب قلتين and over, the water that is قلتين and over, can you use it for wudu if there is a drops of najasa, if the najasa hasn't changed the smell, taste or color? Based on this, you can jump in a swimming pool if your little son has urinated in it. طيب, we understand that. It's all mafhoom now. طيب, so far we really finished the different categories of water and we understand them with the adilla and everything. I know we expanded a bit and it's a bit confusing, but if you understood the summary at the end, you can conclude with everything we studied. طيب شباب, مفهوم? We move. So mainly, how many types of water we have as a conclusion? 2 types, and under them 4 categories. طيب, 2 types, what are they? Water that is pure can be used for wudu under 3 different categories, as we spoke about it, and 1 category, which is water which is mixed with najasa, which is considered najis water. طيب, najis water and what is in it. طيب, here he said the next one, he wants to talk about the shak. Here he said, وَإِذَا شَكَّ فِي طَهَارَةِ الْمَاءِ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ أَوْ نَجَاسَتِهِ بَنَى عَلَى الْيَقِينِ. If a person has doubt about the purity of the water or anything else, or it is impurity, he should base his action upon certainty. Now, you would see now he's going to give you an examples, different examples. He was going to talk about if najasa come on the thawb, if you know the najasa or if you do not know the najasa, what it is. All these are actually examples. The why he is giving you this? To train the mind of the student how to think correctly and how to think as a student of fiqh. You would see. Here he said, if you have doubt that this water is najas or not, what do you base? He said, you base it on certainty. And this is putting into action a great rule in Islam. Al-yaqeenu la yazulu bishak. Listen to this golden rule. Certainty cannot be removed with doubt. And this rule, it's applied on so many issues of fiqh. Meaning, if you have doubt, for example, is the thawb clean or najas? The basic principle is what? It's clean. It's clean, yaqeen. What you have first is the yaqeen. The shak comes after the yaqeen. The certainty is this water, you know, you left the pot clean. طيب. You went and you came back and you found a cat around it, not on it, not urinating. You looked at it, still the same, the water. You're not sure, has the cat really urinated or not, or drops of urine in it or not? You don't know. What is the certainty here? It's clean. You left it clean. Same thing, you made wudu and you're feeling some movement in your stomach. طيب. You don't know, did I... You know, let out wind or not. I mean, the basic principle, you are on what? Anudu. You slept. Tayyib, you saw a funny dream and you woke up. You checked and there's nothing come out. The basic principle, you are on purity or impurity? Purity. Do you need ghusl? No. Tayyib, you had an argument with your wife and you mumbled. Then after 5 minutes, did I give divorce or I didn't? The basic principle is what? You haven't given divorce to your wife. See how? I can keep going with the example. You're doing tawaf around the Kaaba. Tayyib, then you did, you're not sure. You did 6 or 7 laps. What is the yaqeen? You say, but I'm sure I've done 6. What is the doubtful? The last one. Then you do, you say 6 yaqeen, I'll do another one. Which is? Tayyib, the 7th. Tayyib, I'm not going to count the 7th because the basic principle that I am on certainty, I've done 6 laps. Same thing in the salat. I've done 3 or 4 rak'at. The basic principle, you remember that you did tashahud and you stood up. So, you remember you did 3. But you can't remember whether you've done a 4th one. Then, you say, I've done 3 and you come with 4. In many issues, this rule can be implemented on many issues in our daily life. طيب. Here he said, and the dalil of that rule, which is the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim about the person who, or he finds something in his salat, Rasulullah said, let him not leave the salat until he hears a sound or feels a wind, that he let out wind. So this is the basic principle. So here he said, if you have water, you're not sure. So the basic principle to be what?
Biwar.
And he said, وَإِنْ خَفِيَ مَوْضِعُ النَّجَاسَةِ مِنَ الثَّوْبِ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ غَسَلَ مَا تَيَقَّنَ بِهِ غَسْلُهَا. If it is unclear whether the impurity is situated on his clothing or elsewhere, he should wash to the extent that he is sure that the impurity has been removed. Here he said that if a najasa come on your thawb, you went to the toilet and a najasa, you know that there is a najasa came on your thawb, but you do not know where the najasa went on your thawb. Yani for example, the lower garment could be anywhere. Some ulama, they said you keep washing until you have reached the level of certainty. Another opinion, and it is the most correct, subhanAllah, that you try your best to find it and you wash to the closest possible. Be careful. Remember this too, because it's going to face us later. Again, what is the two opinions? The two opinions that you keep washing and washing until you reach certainty. Meaning, let's just say it came on your thawb, on the lower part. You're not sure where, whether it's in the bottom, in the middle, or far up. So what do? If you're going to keep washing and keep washing until, and some people, they're very, they have bit of a waswas, they probably wash all the garment from the bottom. And they come out soaked with water. Because he can't reach the certainty. He said, I still can't reach the certainty. So what happens here? I'd say, Allahu A'lam, the second opinion is, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith in Bukhari or Muslim, فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابَ فَلْيُتِمَّ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said in about the issue of doubt in the salah, he said that let him investigate as much as he can what is correct, and then let him base on it. So, for example, urine came on your garment, you try to think the possibility where it came, and you try to your best, and then you wash, then khalas, that's it. You don't keep washing until you reach the yaqeen, because that sometimes can go beyond the ability of people. True or not? Beyond the ability of people. And it opens the door of al-waswas al-qahri. What is the waswas al-qahri? The forceful doubt, which is, I know for a fact, out of three brothers, there is one brother like that. I get so many questions. Tayyib, that if they stay in a toilet for 40 minutes, trying to find where the najasa came, probably there was no najasa. With that opinion, the first opinion, they have to carry in their suit new clothing for each salat. Some of them, this is the waswas, drives them crazy. And waswas al-qahri, yani as I tell you this incident that happened with one brother, he used to come to me every day and he says, Sheikh, I think I've divorced my wife. Sheikh, I think I divorced my wife. Yaqi, how? I thought about it. It came to my mind. Has my wife been divorced? If I only thinking or I say the word of divorce in my mind without uttering on the tongue, I say, no, the divorce doesn't take place unless you utter on the tongue. He comes, but Sheikh, it came to my mind. Sometimes I mumble it, sometimes I don't. It was driving him insane. I reached to a level, I said, this person is sick. He's sick. And I said, even if you divorce your wife, your divorce is not accepted. Because you're mentally not stable. You're not normal. And that's why, for example, the one who has a waswas al-qahri about urine, where you can drops of urine can come on their clothing, I said to them, defeat the shaitan. Most likely there's no urine. If you give the fatwa to these brothers who has the waswas al-qahri, and to say to them, try to reach the certainty, they will never reach the certainty until they have a shower. Wallahi, there's some people, they have a shower for over an hour after they go to the toilet. They go for wudu for about an hour and a half, they don't come out of the toilet. These are reported cases. This is called waswas al-qahri. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a mental, something mentally wrong. And yani, I don't mean they are crazy with mentally wrong. I mean that the shaitan is playing in their head a lot. And they themselves have to come to terms with it and get the right fatawi from the right ulama to try to defeat it. And the only way you can defeat it is to neglect it. And that's why the companions used to, after they go to the 12, they used to sprinkle some water on their garment. Why? So the shaitan doesn't come play in their head. This way you cannot tell the difference, khalas. To defeat that, al-waswas al-qahri. And that's why taharri al-yaqeen, it can be difficult at times. To find the yaqeen and to reach that certainty, it can be difficult. To keep washing until you reach certainty, it is very difficult at times. So the best opinion, wallahu a'lam, that as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is the closest opinion, that to whatever he feels it is best, he doesn't have to reach the 100% certainty. And Al-Izz bin Abdul Salam rahimahullah said, أحكام الفقه مبنية على غلبة الظن. The rules of fiqh, all of it, is based on the most likeliness. يعني أنت, for example, when two people, just people, and they're known to be just, they bear witness and testify that Khalid killed Abdullah, then do we establish the had or not? But is there a possibility that they have plotted and lied or not? There is a possibility, but that possibility is little. That's why the imma, they say غَلَبَةَ الظَّنِ, most likely. And that's why even in English they say beyond reasonable doubt, not beyond certainty. Because there's nothing really, if you're going to make everything towards a certainty, you will not establish a hukum. Beyond reasonable doubt. خلاص. The doubt is removed reasonably, then you reach the level الراجح. Do we understand this point? Time. And then he gave another example. Here he said, وَإِنْ اشْتَبَهَ مَاءٌ طَهُورٌ بِنَجَسٍ وَلَمْ يَجِدْ غَيْرَهُمَا تَيَمَّمَ وَتَرَكَهُمَا. See? The principle that he spoke about, which is the principle he put. What was the principle? He washes until he reaches the yaqeen. We said the correct opinion is not that. To try his best to find it where it is, and then he will base on that. True? Two opinion. He doesn't have tayyib. So the opinion of the author, he said what? To keep washing until he reaches the yaqeen. Based on this principle, now he's going to branch off. And one of the branches he said here, if pure water is hard to distinguish from impure water and he cannot find any water, he should perform a dry ablution tayammum and abandon them both. Yes, subhanallah. How is that? And let's just say you have two big drums of water. One of them, your cow did a dropping in it, and one of them, your donkey did a dropping in it. The dropping of a cow, is it najas? No. The dropping of a donkey, is it najas?
Yes.
See? Both of them. And both, you look at them, you don't know, because they are both similar. You're lost now. They're both mixed. Now, one of them, for certainty, is mixed with najas. But which one, you don't know. What do you do? Huh? The sheikh said you leave them both. And you do tayammum. Tayyib. And he said, you do tayammum. Based on what? Based on the principle, you have to try until you reach certainty. But you cannot reach certainty until you send them to a lab. And I'm going to send them to a lab. Huh? You cannot reach certainty. So what are we doing? Yeah. Based on the principle that we told you about, You investigate to the best of your ability, and then you base on that. And you don't resort to tayammum, because you still have water. Listen to Shaykh al-Islam what he said, rahimahullah. إِذَا اشْتَبَهَ الطَّاهِرُ بِالنَّجَسِ فَاجْتِنَابُهُمَا جَمِيعًا وَاجِبٌ لِأَنَّهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ لِفِعْلِ الْمُحَرَّمِ وَتَحْلِيلِ أَحَدُهُمَا تَحَكُّمٌ. He said, Shaykh al-Islam said, if the pure water is mixed with najas, and you confuse the two, then abandoning both of them is an obligation. Because to make wudu in one of them, what you're making wudu in what? In water that is haram to be used. And to make the other one halal, which is used, the other one halal, which is could be haram, is giving out the wrong ruling. As you see, in this there is a hardship, and there is waste of water, isn't it? So the correct opinion would be what? To try to investigate to the best of your ability, then you make the wudu. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, do not burden us if we forget or make a mistake. So if you reached, you made your ijtihad. And then, if you made the wrong ijtihad, it's a mistake based on sincerity and not based on whims and desires. To resort to tayammum while there is still water, also there's a question mark on that, isn't it? Tayyib, if we want to take the opinion that until you reach certainty, then we have to abandon both of them, because you cannot reach certainty with any of the water. So can you see the difference of two opinions? Are we getting tired, brothers, or what? You haven't seen me for a month. Can't be getting tired. I mean, how long have we been? Well, it's only 40 minutes. Yalla, keep going. Now, a question? No. Of course. That you're not certain, but you investigated to the best of your ability. Because certainty is not reached with assumption. What you found, qarina. And qarina, the qarina does not amount to certainty. And what you talked about as qarina is an unclear evidence. But if you've seen it, dropping in it, this is khalas. The ru'yal ayn is the highest of level of certainty. You've seen it, the donkey, and it did the dropping. You did tahri, you investigated, and the qarina led you that this water is mixed with impurities. Then you base on that qarina. Mafhum? We'll talk about it when we get there, but any meat, any animal that you can eat, its flesh, the dropping of it is pure. It's not impure. The dropping of it is pure, it's not impure, according to the correct opinion. Some ulama, they say, the dropping of an animal that you eat, the flesh can be eaten, is impure. But the correct opinion, inshallah, it is pure. The dropping of an animal that you're allowed to eat. Now, here he said, وَإِنْ اشْتَبَهَ طَهُورٌ بِطَاهِرٌ تَوَضَّأَ مِنْ كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا. And if one unable to distinguish between purifying water, tahur, and pure water, tahir, he should perform the minor ritual ablution wudu by using both of them. What is tahur and tahir? These are according to the divisions of the Hanabila. What is the divisions of the Hanabila and a lot of the ulama? Of course, the Hanabila amongst themselves, they differed. But the division here, there is tahur water, tahir water, and najis water. What is the tahur water? The tahur water, which is water that's still on its original. Yes, what you do with the tahur water, you can do wudu with it and remove physical impurities. The tahir water, which is a pure water mixed with purities, what you are able to do with this? You're not allowed to do with it wudu, but you're allowed to do with it, remove najasa. Did we agree with this division? Or we said, no, the tahur and the tahir, they're both the same. You can do wudu and remove impurities with it. We said the tahur and the tahir are one category regardless, and that's what the dalil points to. Tayyib, here he said, according to his principle, pay attention. He said, if you confuse the two, water that is still on its basics, and water that is mixed with purities. But let's say this purities is, that has the color white, and you can't tell. Like for example, some salt diluted with salt, and the salt is gone within the water, you don't know. Just let's say, and you don't have a good taste buds, you can't taste. Tayyib. So what do you do here? Here he said, you make wudu from here and you make wudu from there. To us, yani you make two wudu. But as you see, this is wasting of water. And the second wudu is not necessary. If we want to use our rule, you make wudu with. If we agree with the division and use our rule, you try to find out which is, you investigate, and then you take the closest to what you think it is, the tahur water. But Our disagreement is with the division to begin with. And we took the division of يعني Ibn Taymiyyah and others. طيب. Which is two types of water. مفهوم؟ طيب. If it is mixed with najasa, if there is a najis water and a pure water, this is not here, but I'm telling you this. If you confuse the two, what do you do? We spoke about it earlier. If we said pure water and najis water, what do? Investigate to the best of your ability. طيب. Investigate, and you do not do wudu from here and wudu from there. Because for certain, there's one of them is haram to use. Isn't it? Here he said, وَإِنْ اشْتَبَهَتْ ثِيَابٌ طَاهِرَةٌ بِنَجِسَةٍ صَلَّى فِي كُلِّ ثَوْبٍ بِعَدَدِ النَّجَسْ وَزَادَ صَلَاةٍ. Here he said, if the garments that are clean are hard to distinguish from those are impure, he should perform the prayer in each garment according to the number of those that are impure and add another prayer. What does it mean? يعني you have three garments or four garments. You are certain there are three of them impure and one of them is pure. What do you do? You want to pray Zuhr. And you don't know which is which. According to the rule he put in the beginning, if he has four of them, so what does he do? He prays in each thawb once. You pray once, twice, second, each salat in a different thawb, until you pray with the fourth thawb. For you have reached certainty that you prayed a salat in a pure garment. But what is the correct opinion? That you try to the best of your ability, which is the clean and the pure one, you wear it and you pray in it. See how sometimes principle can, that principle, as I told you in the beginning, it's going to cause a really, really strong hardship for the person. And Islam came to remove the hardship. And imagine someone prays Zuhr four times, if he has four garments, and three of them he doubted. And especially this happened if you're going camping, and you're taking, for example, a hunting dog with you or something, and you've seen him, or he urinated on the cloth, but you don't know which one he urinated on. And you're wearing one which is yani, or there is one that you know that it is piwa in him, because the urine has dried by the sun or something. Then you're stuck. You're really stuck. What do you do? You wash them all of them. You are without clothing. What do you do? But that's why the ulama here, they say, you try to investigate to the best of your ability. And then he said, وَتُغْسَلُ نَجَاسَةُ الْكَلْبِ وَالْخَنْزِيرِ سَبْعًا إِحْدَاهُنَّ بِالتُّرَابِ. Inshallah we will seal with this. The impurity of the dog and the swine should be ritually cleansed seven times, six times with water and one time with earth. Here he said, what is the dalil for that? First we talk about the dog. The Shaykh spoke about the dog and the swine. We'll talk about the swine later, after we finish talking about the dog. Here he said the dog. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا وَلَغَ الْكَلْبُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَغْسِلْهُ سَبْعًا. يعني the hadith narrated in Bukhari, when a dog drinks or eats from one of your pots, let him wash it seven times. This is what the Bukhari rahimahullah narrated. Imam Muslim added another part in the hadith, أولاهن بالتراب, the first one with dirt. Now, how that is done, you get the pot, you grab dirt and you wash the pot, you rub the dirt inside the pot, and then you wash it six times with water. This is the dog. Now let's come to the issue of the dog. What is najis about the dog? The ulama are many opinions. Some ulama said everything about the dog is najis. His hair, his saliva, his urine and stool. Of course, the urine and the stool is consensus amongst the ulama. Everything about the dog is najis. Another group of ulama, they said no. Only the saliva and the urine and the stool. Because that's what is mentioned in the hadith. You have another ulama, which is the Malikiyah. They said, neither the saliva, nor the hair of the dog is najas. Only the urine and the stool. And they said this hadith, this is amr ta'abudi. What about amr ta'abudi? What does it mean ta'abudi? I mean, why Allah said zuhur four rak'at? Is there a reason? Is there a wisdom? We don't know. Allah said we do. And that's what they said. They said this hadith, khalas. Allah said, the Prophet said, wash it first time with dirt. We don't ask for the reason and we don't know, want to know the reason and we don't care about the reason. And they said the dog, the saliva of the dog is not najis. But what is the dalil? The dalil Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Surah Al-Ma'idah, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا أَمْسَكْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ. Eat from the whatever they catch. And the dog, you know, he catches for you with what? With his teeth. He grabs it. And of course, the meat going to be saliva added on it. They said, if it was najas, then how can you eat the meat? See where is the argument come from? But the correct opinion, Wallahu A'lam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sharia does not order us to wash something unless it is najas. Or to remove a najasa. And especially with the severity of 7 times. And what about the what he said in the ayah? What he said in the ayah, because out of necessity, because if you have a hunting dog, it is like, yani the whole chapter of hunting, you find it based on necessity, because you're not allowed to eat something that is not slaughtered. Yet when you hunt it, you don't slaughter it. A lot of the times you find it dead. It is based on necessity. Necessity for people to eat and to hunt and to bring. That's why. So even if you hunt wild goats, for example, that's why if you have a domesticated chicken or a goat, you're not allowed to shoot it and eat it. So shooting it and eating it is based on a need. The people need that. And same thing using the dog. And who said when you hunt the goat, you're not going to wash the place where he bitten it? The Sharia left it to your understanding that you need to wash it, because Prophet ﷺ made it clear in the other hadith. Type, to go to the extent to say the hair of the dog is najas, that needs a proof. And whilst we know that it causes a great hardship, because Prophet ﷺ allowed keeping a dog for a guard dog to guard the house and a hunting dog. A hunting and to guard, that is are the two reasons you can keep a dog. And we know that also in the streets of Medina, as has been narrated, there was always dogs running in and out and touching the people. And when you have a guard dog or a hunting dog, it's going to touch you and circle you and so on and so forth and touch you. So based on this, we say only the saliva and the urine and the stool is najas. Tayyib, we say, if the dog licks you, licks your foot, licks your hand, licks your thawb, do you wash it, your hand or your thawb, tayyib, 7 times, first time with dirt, or it's sufficient to wash it with water? That's the reason. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, ina. So we stick to the ina, the pot. Why? Because the pot you're going to use for eating. You use it for eating. That's why you need to wash it 7 times. Right? But washing your clothes and your hand and everything, inshallah, water and soap is supposed to be enough. Now, what about the swine? Is there a hadith about the swine to wash it? As Ibn Qudama rahimahullah says, if the swine, if a pig eats it from a pot, then you have to wash it 7 times, first time with dirt. Here they used analogy. They said, which is more najas, the dog or the swine? So the swine is more deserving to be washed than the dog. That's what they used. They used the analogy and said that. Of course, the correct opinion that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the dog, and specifically the dog, as the modern science proven that the dog has some kind of worm and germs in his saliva and cannot be removed by water only, it has to use dirt. This is what the modern science, Allahu Alam, this is what has been said. So here they said the swine based on the qiyas. But the correct opinion and the hadith that we have from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith collected by Al-Hakim, a companion, his name is Abi Tha'labah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we live in a land where there is Ahlul Kitab, and they drink alcohol and they eat the pig. So what do we do with their utensils, pots and utensils? What do we do with their pots? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, دَعُوهَا مَا وَجَدْتُمْ عَنْهَا بُدَّا. Leave it. But if you find that you need to use it, فَإِذَا لَمْ تَجِدُوا عَنْهَا بُدَّا. And if you find that you cannot but use it, فَغْسِلُوهَا بِالْمَا. Wash it with water. And though we know they eat swine with it. Here he said, this hadith is a weak hadith. But the principle of this hadith, you'll find it in Bukhari, without the word, they drink alcohol and they eat swine. He said to wash the pots of Ahlul Kitab before you use it. Tayyib, the majority of Ahlul Ilm, they say that you do not need to wash it 7 times. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ specified the dog. Tayyib, and if the Prophet specified the dog, and the Prophet ﷺ never specified the khanzir. And it was known in the Medina, there was a lot of Ahlul Kitab, and they used to own pigs. And if that, the Prophet ﷺ would have highlighted for us to wash it 7 times from the saliva of khanzir. And this is the most correct opinion, that only the saliva of the dog is washed 7 times when it is in a pot that you want to use, reuse it for, to cook food in it or to put food in it, to wash it first time with dirt, and the rest of 6 is what? With water. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, on his commentary on Sahih Muslim, he said about the analogy between the pig and the dog, وَهَذَا قِيَاسٌ ضَعِيفٌ. This is a weak qiyas. لِأَنَّ الْخِنْزِيرَ مَذْكُورٌ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Because the swine is mentioned in the Qur'an, وَمَوْجُودٌ فِي عَهْدِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَمْ يَرِدْ إِلْحَاقُهُ بِالْكَلْبِ. And it existed, يعني the swine was mentioned in the Qur'an and existed in the days of the Prophet ﷺ, especially when the Prophet ﷺ lived amongst Christian and Jews in Medina, even though the Jews don't eat swine, but the Christians do. And it never been mentioned to couple it with a dog, or give it the same ruling as you give to the dogs. طيب سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If you have any questions, we'll take them. Otherwise, get ready for Salat al-Isha. No.